Good morning from me as well, and a happy Easter to you. It's nice to see you all out on a very sunny Easter morning, isn't it? This morning, we're going to think a little bit about what we have just been talking about and thinking about that the children have so well introduced for us. But I want us to start, first of all, with a bit of a game, okay? A bit of a game. Someone's gone, yes, already over here. I'm going to say some words for hello. Okay, some words for hello in different languages. I'll try. And what I want you to do is guess which language they're from, okay? Is that okay? Right? You may not be able to tell from what I say anyway, but we'll give it a go. So the first one, okay. Bonjour. French. I'm glad we got that one. Right, yeah. Bonjour, French. Guten Tag. See, we're very confident about these. Right. G'day. Australian, that's right. I can't do an Australian accent. Let's not go for that. Australian. Hola. Spanish. Yeah, you're getting a little less confident now. Spanish. Yeah, that's right. Konnichiwa. Okay. Japanese. We're still going through. Konnichiwa. Right. Let's go for a bit harder then. Annyeonghaseyo. Oh, I'm impressed. Who said Korean? Very good. Someone knows their languages. Yes, that's right. That's how you say it. We haven't got the Russian one today, by the way, because it was very, very difficult to say. But anyway, Mahaba. Yeah, Arabic, Turkish. Yeah, that's right. Turkish, Arabic. Becoming less confident now. Ninhao. Chinese, which version of Chinese? Mandarin, very good. Jumbo. Swahili, oh, I'm very impressed by this. Swahili or Kenyan, that's right. Bongu. Yes, I've got one that people don't know. Sorry? No. Africa is correct. Oh, no, it's not, sorry, it's not. No, forget that. That was the last one. Maltese. So you'll remember that, won't you? No, you won't. Sveiki. It's not Swedish, no. No, none of those. Polish, Slovakian, no. I don't think anyone could get this. Lithuanian. There you go, yeah. And then finally, Shalom. That's Israel, isn't it? Or Hebrew. Shalom. Shalom. Does anyone know, can anyone tell me actually, what does shalom mean? Can anyone tell me? Perhaps one of the, I was going to say one of the little ones, but you answered it anyway, didn't you? Peace, that's right, or peace be with you. Peace be with you. It's the way that Jewish people for centuries and centuries have welcomed one another. They say shalom. Can we all try it? Shalom. There we go, wonderful. And actually, when we go back to the time of Jesus, this is the way in which they would have greeted one another back then. In this story we've been thinking about this morning from John chapter 20, this was the first word that Jesus' disciples would have heard from Jesus after he came back from the dead. He said to them, shalom, or peace be with you. Now, we're going to think a little bit about the story this morning. So here's how it took place. Our children introduced it very, very well just a few moments ago. Mary arrives at the door, doesn't she? She arrives at the door where the disciples are in hiding, and she says, I have seen the Lord. This amazing thing has happened. I've seen him. I've actually seen him with my own two eyes. He has risen. I mean, this is probably mid to late morning or so. She got up early and ran to the tomb and had already come back. And even two of the disciples ran along and had seen the fact that the tomb was empty and that nothing was there. But Mary had come to them mid to late morning and said, I have seen him. I've actually seen the Lord. Today, right now, I've seen him. He is alive. But Jesus' disciples didn't understand what it all meant. They thought, well, how can that possibly be the case? They thought someone maybe had stolen the body away, that something else had happened to him. Until that moment that Mary burst through the door and said, I've seen him. And they probably thought, really? Alive? Are you sure? I mean, we saw him, didn't we? We all saw him. He was hanging on the cross just a couple of days ago. He was there. He died. We all saw it with our own two eyes. We saw him hang on the cross. No one comes back from that. They still didn't understand that Jesus really was meant to rise from the dead. Up until this moment where Jesus appears before them and says that word, Shalom. Shalom, that's right. In fact, here's the verse, John 20, verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked in fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. That's right, that's right. And you know what? They were amazed. They were overjoyed about the fact that Jesus was alive, that he appeared in front of them. And suddenly, everything changed for them. It's amazing how the Easter story is a story about change. Everything changed for them in that moment. Suddenly, everything went from them being fearful to having this peace. Everything went from sadness about having lost Jesus, thinking they had lost him forever, to knowing that they had joy that he was alive. From despair, thinking he had gone and left them, to hope as they saw him again, all because Jesus was alive. The resurrection changed everything. And it says this, after he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides, where the nails had gone in. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Peace be with you, he said to them. And I just want us to pause for a minute and think about that, what that means, peace be with you, on today of all days. Why did Jesus not just bring peace when he shocked them? And, you know, I would be quite shocked if someone just appeared in front of me and just appeared and said, oh, here I am. He said, peace be with you. It wasn't just because of that reason, but it's because now Jesus could bring peace to the whole world. I mean, everyone thought that on Good Friday, it was mission failed. Everyone thought it was mission failed. Jesus had died. He had gone. He was on the cross. He died. And that was it. I mean, can you imagine what they felt like as they tried to come to terms with the fact that Jesus had gone? So sad, so upset, so fearful about what might happen next. Everything that happened on Good Friday suggested it was Jesus' mission failed. But no one really understood what God was doing that day. No one really understood. Even the disciples didn't. They didn't even realize that Jesus was going to come back from the dead. And no one understood that Jesus had to die in order to take away our sins. No one realized that Jesus was taking himself the punishment for our sin, all the bad things that we've done wrong, and taking it with him to death. No one realized that we could be forgiven for our sin when he rose again from the dead and beat it at its own game. And that's for everything we've ever done wrong. I mean, think about it for a minute. Everything we've ever done wrong can be forgiven. Every unkind word spoken, every unkind thing that we've done, every hurtful thing we've done to someone else, every failing we've ever had, Jesus could forgive it because of the cross. And do you know what it was like? It was a bit like having a coin like this. This is a bit like our lives. Now, what can you tell me about this coin here? What can you tell me about this coin? What does it look like? It's got the queen on it. Yeah, that's right. What does it look like? Does it look particularly good, particularly clean, or 2p coin? Yeah. That's right. And it's all dark, isn't it? It's all dirty. It looks pretty bad. I mean, it looks pretty dirty. You wouldn't really want that in your pocket. You wouldn't want to be holding it particularly like I am now. It's dirty, isn't it? And it was like that with us with God. That before God, we are dirty. We've got all this sin, all this stuff which holds us back from a relationship with him. And that's what Good Friday was all about. It was about Jesus taking all of this away from us. That as he went to the grave, now here's hoping this works. As he went to the grave and took all of that sin and dirtiness and disappeared from view, everything was then to change. He took upon himself all of our darkness, all of that shame, everything we've ever done wrong. He took it out of sight. But of course, the amazing thing is about this story that we remember at Easter is that Jesus himself had never sinned. He had never done anything wrong. And so death could not keep him. It could not hold him. God raised him to life again, raised him back from the dead, brought him back to tell us that our sins could be forgiven, tell us that we can have this relationship with God that can go on forever and ever and ever because our lives have been washed clean and we're forgiven and free to be with him forever. Every bad thing we've ever done he's taken away, and he could give us a fresh start. That's what he proved when he came back to life. When the tomb entrance was rolled away, when there was no body in the tomb, when he appeared to his disciples, he was saying, I'm alive, new life, and you can have this new life as well. It was almost as if, now how's this done? Oh, it's not bad actually, there you go, it's not too bad. What does that look like now? What does that look like now? It is, isn't it? It's a bit more cleaner now. Here, we need to leave it a bit longer, I think, for it to completely clean. You can see it. Clean. That when it came out, when he came out of the grave, we too can have the opportunity to be made clean, to be made new again, to have our sins forgiven. And you know what? That's the most amazing thing about the Easter story, that it's God coming down to this earth for us, God himself in the person of Jesus, to set us free from all of this so that we can know him once again. And that is the real celebration that we get on this day. I mean, even Thomas himself, this disciple who didn't even know that Jesus was alive, he wasn't there when he appeared to the other disciples. He said to them, look, unless I see him, I won't believe. I'm not going to believe until I see him. Jesus appeared to him just a week later on. And what were Jesus' words to Thomas, the doubting disciple? Well, he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. I'm here. I'm really real. See my hands. See my feet. It's me. And I love where the children ended their drama on. This verse from John chapter 20, verse 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's what Easter Sunday is all about. It's all about having life in Jesus' name because he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. He brought us new life because we can know him once again. He beat death at its own game and passed that promise on to us. But what does the verse say? That by believing in him, you may have life in his name. And that's the opportunity we have on Easter Sunday. We have the opportunity to come to Jesus and say, I trust in you. Please forgive me of all the things I've done wrong. Help me to believe in you. I place my faith in you so that one day I can go to be with you forever in eternity. That's the promise that we get, and that's the opportunity that we get on an Easter Sunday. It's something that we who are Christians can rejoice in on this day, that we can take great delight in and joy in because we know this Savior who lives and reigns today. But it's also for any here who you might not know Jesus as your Savior. You might not have made that commitment to him and said, I believe in you. I trust in you. Well, you know what? This is an opportunity for you to say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Savior who rose from the grave so that I could be forgiven. And today, I put my trust in him. I want to be made clean and new and be with him forever. And so I'm going to pray for us now as we come towards the end of our time together, that Jesus would just speak to us in these moments, fill our hearts with joy and peace. And maybe this is an opportunity for those who have never placed their faith in him to do so. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you so much that on this Easter Sunday, we get to celebrate, we get to join together, we get to say thank you for sending Jesus to this earth, to die on a cross, but not just to die as you took our sin, but also to rise again so that we might have the promise of new life because you raised Jesus from the grave. And Father, I pray that would give us great joy on this day, that it would give us a real peace in our hearts, that we can know you once again, that we have an eternity in heaven with you if we've placed our faith in you. What a joy that is, how that changes our life in the here and now, that we can look forward with hope because of what you've done for us. And I pray, Father God, on this Easter Sunday, for any here this morning who may not know you as their Lord and Savior, we pray, Father God, that you would speak to each of our hearts and speak, Lord God, where there is unbelief. Father God, may you break him, Father. Help us to understand who you truly are, why you came for us, and the opportunity we truly have to put our faith in you as our Savior and Lord. And we thank you for all of this in your precious name. Amen.